Grace, mercy, and peace be with you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The text for today's message is taken from this morning's gospel, especially these words. The servant said to the master, "Then do you want us to go and gather them?" But he said, "No, lest in gathering the weeds you root up the wheat along with them. Let both grow together until the harvest, and at harvest time I will tell the reapers, gather the wheat first and bind them, the weeds first and bind them in bundles to be burned, but gather the wheat into my barn." So far the text. Dear friends in Christ, I've kind of come up with a system when I'm frustrated or sad or worried about something, I'm facing something unpleasant, I've come up with a system of where I reach out for the least common denominator, right? I find something that is worse, okay? Or I try to find some light at the end of the tunnel of the experience I'm facing. For example, I think probably 6 years ago, was the last time I went to Disneyland. And as I approached Snow White or Cinderella's castle, whoever's castle, I don't know. As I approached that, I just felt this blanket of depression just enveloping me, right? Because I was walking into a place where there were rides I didn't want to ride, and lines I didn't want to wait in, and heat I didn't want to experience, and food I didn't want to eat, and money I didn't want to pay. And so the only bright spot was eventually the sun is going to go down, they're going to finish the fireworks, and it's going to close. And they force you to go home. And so I just kind of kept that little light at the end of the tunnel as I was dealing with everything else throughout the day. Now, I did that again this June 29th. Two things happened that day. Nancy and the kids went to Disneyland, and I went to the urgent care and then the emergency room. And I'm not kidding. This may seem like hyperbole, but my first thought as they drove a needle into my wrist to drain it was, at least I'm not in Disneyland with my family. I said, I don't have to go on rides. I'm on a nice, comfortable hospital bed, and I didn't have to wait in line. I shot right in here, got me a room. Okay, no heat. It's air-conditioned in here. Don't have any food for me, but I'm certainly not hungry. And okay, this is the only thing Disneyland has on the ER, is it's ER is slightly more expensive, as it turns out, okay? But at least I get to go home a lot faster. I'm not kidding. As it came in, I said, at least I'm not in Disneyland. That was my first thought. Second thought, got to use this for a sermon illustration. Ta-da, here you go. See, that's how you take lemons and make lemonade. So, but anyway, that kind of works. And it seems like that's what Jesus is doing here, okay? He gives us a vision of his kingdom. And we can take this very easily and say, well, we just look at the least common denominator. There's evil in the world, but you know what? At least the world's coming to an end. But Jesus gives us a much clearer and a much more full picture of the kingdom, one in which, by the way, we don't often see. So it's a simple parable. A man goes out to sow. He sows wheat. That night, the enemy comes and sows weeds. The weeds would be darnel. It's what it's called, and it's very hard to tell apart as it's growing, tell it different from wheat. They look almost exactly the same until the harvest, where the wheat will, you know, because of the wheat on the end, it'll just kind of bend over, but the darnel's still sticking straight up, so then you can tell them apart. Well, you can't in the beginning. And then the servants notice that the weeds are in here, and the master says, an enemy did this, and they say, do you want us to dig up the weeds? And he says, no, let them grow together. Now, this is one of those rare parables where Jesus actually explains in great detail exactly what the parable is about. In fact, it's more of an allegory than a parable. And you'd think, since Jesus explained it very specifically what everything is, it would be easy to understand. But people have a lot of problems with this parable. Even the church fathers had their own slant on these parables. The early church fathers viewed the field not as the world, which clearly Jesus says, but they viewed the field of God's kingdom as the church. And they said the church is made up of wheat and weeds, and you don't know who is who until the judgment day. That's one way they have it going at it. Of course, the people Jesus is speaking to wouldn't have thought of it that way. They would have seen very clearly that the field was the world, as Jesus said, and the wheat, the good crop, were them, the chosen people, and the weeds are the Gentiles. Now, they got the part right about it being the world. After all, Jesus says itself, you know, it's the field is the world. But not this Jew-Gentile thing. Jesus makes it very clear. It's not the Jews and the Gentiles. It's God's children and the devil's children. And they grow together. Now, I looked at a lot of commentaries that also took their own slants on this parable. And most of the commentaries I read, the commentaries really did not like this parable at all. One thing that caused most of these commentators to be uncomfortable was this whole binary that's going on here, right? You got good and evil, heaven and hell, wheat and weeds, and it's a whole lot of judging going on and labeling. They don't like that. Another one said that the point of this is really not about individual sin. It's we should be thinking about societal sin, right? Like racism or injustice or inequity. A third one, which was a very strange take on this parable, said the point of the parable is that the wheat and the weeds grew together because they needed each other for survival. Okay, now those three takes, that's just three of the ones I came across. Those three takes are a perfect example of weeds being planted in God's field, because none of those things are true. All right? Yeah, there's a binary, good, evil, heaven and hell, the righteous and the sinners. And I know people are uncomfortable with that for the simple fact that that's the way it is. That's true. That's how God sees things. And sin, hey, sin is not a societal problem. It's a people problem. Jesus did not call societies to repentance. He called people to repentance. He didn't die on a cross for a country. He died for people. So it's a people problem. We have to look at the sin on an individual basis, on a personal basis. It's our problem. And thirdly, the wheat and the weeds are not in some kind of symbiotic relationship where they help each other, okay? The wheat does just fine without weeds. We all know that. And the solution's a simple one and makes a lot of sense. And the servants knew it. He said, you want to go out there and pull up these weeds? And the master says, no. Any farmer back then would have done that if he could have determined which was which. But this farmer says, no. Let them grow together. And the question that must have crossed the minds of the servants, why would you in the world do that? Is a question we've been asking God for thousands of years. Why does God allow evil in the world? And believe it or not, this parable has an answer to that question, although it may not be a very satisfying one for us. And that answer tells us a lot about who God is and a lot about who we are and who we are not. First of all, we see very clearly that God is in control. Not, you know, half the field is not God's and the other half Satan's. It's all God's. And all the planting was done by him. Satan's the one who plants the seeds to try to ruin it. It's his field. And he allows them both to grow for a simple reason. Because God is patient, because God is kind, because God is loving, because God is gracious, because God wants all people to be saved. And yet, as loving and gracious as he is, we also hear very clearly here that there will be a judgment day. All evil, all sin will be highlighted and lit up. Everyone will see it, and it will be judged once and for all. And that tells us something very clearly about ourselves and who we are not. We are not in a position to make eternal judgments about anybody in this world. When God says how hard it is, or in this parable, how hard it is to tell the wheat from the weeds, he's basically telling us, you can't possibly tell. The worst thing we can ever say or think about someone is wishing them to go to hell. That is the worst thing. Because we are in no position to do that. The good news that we find in this text is very clearly what Jesus says. And the wheat are the sons of God. That's us. We are the sons and daughters of Jesus Christ. We are the sons and daughters because those are the names that we were given at our baptisms. Every morning we wake up, we should hold up that title of ourselves that God has given us. You are a son of God. You are a daughter of God. Every time we come to Him and ask for forgiveness of our sins, and they are forgiven. They're forgiven because we are sons of God and daughters of God. Every time we wake up and face a new day and know that the Lord will be with us, it's because we are sons of God and daughters of God. Of course, a judgment day is coming. And on that day, the angels will come and gather us and bring us home. And that's a wonderful thing. But we can't go to that least common denominator, okay, for all our hope in this life. Just to look at the world around us and see that there's obvious evil around and sinfulness. And look at our own lives and see that we get awfully weedy at times too. You know, I hate to admit. And look at that and say, yeah, but you know what? Someday I die and get to go to heaven. That's true. That's great. But that shouldn't be the foundation upon which our lives are built. Oh, that day is coming and we can look forward to it. But we're here now. Right now, we're sons and daughters of God. Jesus Christ, by his life, death, and resurrection, has made us so. And he has planted us in this world. And he's planted us here so that we can do his will by reaching out to those who are lost. So the transformation that's taken place in our life can take place in their life. We define ourselves and we understand the meaning of our lives by knowing the end. And we know how it's going to end, and that's great. But we live now in a world that needs to hear the message of a Savior, a world that needs to be transformed by his love, person by person by person. May the Lord bless us as we go about that work. In Jesus' name, amen.